Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Dr. James Maloney. Let me ask you a question. Here you are, I assume in India, and there are blind people that want to get their sight back. You begin praying for them, and what happened?
Well, as we were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, of course, we know the greatest miracle need in a person's life is the salvation need in each individual. But as we were praying for them to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, there were many sick and afflicted people, many blind people. And so I remember one particular gentleman, Sid, that had never seen before. He had no pupils. And so as we prayed for him, in the mighty name of Jesus, God began to stitch his eyes. You could just see the stitch work and the pupil begin to appear and the color. He had no color at all.
Did you see this while you, you were seeing this with your own eyes?
Absolutely, yes. I was just looking right into his eyes.
So let me get straight. There was no pupil?
There was no pupil, no color. It was just totally white.
And you could see little by little?
Little stitch work. You know, it reminds me of the scripture, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, which simply means I'm the Lord that will sew up and stitch by mending is the literal rendering.
What about the time where those Hindus were out to no good?
Yeah, there were quite a few of them that wanted to virtually kill me. That's the truth. a lot of the people were coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus, many of the Hindus, and so they were not appreciative of that. So I had a prayer line of about 15 blind people. And what they had said was, some of the individuals that were in the prayer line, if one person is not healed, then that will prove to us that this Jesus is a God that shows respect to persons. And so as I began to pray for the people, we were seeing 100% success. And it was really the Lord protecting me and
How many blind people?
There are about 15. And one of those individuals...
All 15?
...were totally healed. And one of the individuals was that man that had no pupils. And so it just virtually just shook the place. And by the time the 15 were healed, the individuals that were out to want to kill me gave their lives to Jesus. It was quite remarkable. It was exciting.
I'll tell you something. When you find out the background that Jim came from, anyone can make it. I mean, you were so sabotaged. You were, your mother had an affair with a pastor.
That's correct.
And yes. So you were conceived out of wedlock. Then you had a stepfather. And I can't believe that any man, even a stepfather, could do what did he do to you?
Well, I went through quite a few months of severe physical beatings because he knew I was not his, and that rage rose up within him. So for about a year, I went through incredible physical abuse, neglect. There wasn't enough food to eat. I was thrown in the closet.
Did he slam you against a wall?
Did he
smash you with his feet?
Yeah, the first thing he did, Sid, was he came in and just kicked me right in the face, broke my nose. I went flying across.
How old?
I was about two and a half.
Oh, do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that, but I do remember some of the neglect. I do remember sometimes a day or two at a time, they would just throw me in a closet and lock the door, and I'd be there for a couple
days. What did you think in that closet?
Well, I was so young, of course, but I remember that just the darkness that just engulfed me and the fear and the rejection and wondering why I had been abandoned and how come no one was answering, you know, my cries and my tears. And so that's what I remember. And I really believe that at that time, an incredible wounding came into my life, a wounding of rejection.
Now, my notes say that you were adopted and rebellious, obviously, as a teenager, but there came a point where you cried out to God. Why did you do that?
Well, I had come to the point where I just, you know, I didn't want to live anymore. Even though I had been adopted into this home, they were good parents. They really were, worked very hard. But there was just that sensing of rejection and that wounding, as I said. And so I just came to the point at 14 where I really didn't want to live anymore. I became suicidal. A lot of voices in my ears, just I would hear these voices say, why don't you go ahead and end your life? I mean, it was just a tough, tough upbringing. And so I cried out to God at 14, and I didn't know anyone that taught the born-again experience. I didn't know anyone that had a personal relationship with Jesus. I didn't understand the concept of having intimacy with him. And so I had to just cry out to God. If you're real, you're going to have to reveal yourself to me. And he did answer my cry.
Tell me how.
Well, it was December 31st, 1970, January 1st, as I had cried out to God, if you love me, you need to reveal yourself to me. I need to know that I'm accepted for who I am. That was my exact phrasing. And January 1st, the Lord answered my prayer. And the way he answered my prayer, Sid, was that a beautiful, brilliant light entered into my bedroom when I was 14, January 1st, 1971. And the light was just beyond human description. And I knew that someone was standing in that light. I didn't know who it was, but I knew someone was standing in that light. And so what I did was I got out of my bed, knelt down before this beautiful light, and I just felt compelled to put my hands out, just stretch my hands out. And my hands virtually went into that light. And when I entered into the light, my hands, I noticed that two hands came out towards me. And when I looked down into those hands, I knew that they were the hands of Jesus.
And did he say anything to you?
He spoke to me. He spoke to me audibly. And he said, I've heard your cry for acceptance, and I've heard your cry for reality. And he said something that forever changed my life. I love you the way that you are. And that's my encounter with the Lord Jesus.
What did that, coming from such horrible abuse and rejection, what did that mean to you?
Well, just realizing that I'm accepted. Realizing that I have become a son, and he's my heavenly Father. And no matter what I went through in my upbringing, however difficult it was, I could come into God's kingdom. And if there's any shattered aspect of my life, a lack of confidence or esteem, that in the Lord Jesus, that I could receive that sense
I
of
love it.
And acceptance.
I love you just the way you are. What if God said that to you? I believe God's saying that to you right now. Can I be his mouthpiece for a moment? I love you just the way you are. I love you. I love you just the way you are. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Dr. James Maloney. James, I've heard of miracles, and I've been investigating miracles for so long, but I've never heard about a pacemaker burning up. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Virtually, that's what happened. We had a young lady come out to our meetings, and this lady had a pacemaker put in her chest cavity, and I had a word of knowledge. I said, there's someone there that needs a healing in her heart, and a portion of your heart is dead. So I believe God's touching you. And so a few minutes went by, she screamed and hollered and came running down to the front, and she said, Brother Jim, you know, God has healed my heart. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, oh, you know, I just had my third pacemaker put in my chest cavity. I can't feel it. I can't find it. I can't even see where the scar is at. And so when she went back to the doctor, you know, no pacemaker.
Now, I've never had anything like that, so I don't understand. Did they put that inside an individual? So,
actually, yes.
So how could she know it's there or not?
You can feel the bump.
Because it kind of like comes out of the skin.
That's correct.
So where'd it go?
The Lord just dissolved it, burned it out of her body.
How was her heart?
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, every 6 months you'd go back to
the doctor. That's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
That is ridiculous. You know that.
Well, you know, a lot of people would think so, but.
But you know what? It's no more ridiculous than that little boy that would not grow. What happened to him?
Well, this was in Central Texas, and there was a little boy that was about, I would say, 2.5, 3 years of age, and the doctor said that his growth was stunted and he wouldn't get much larger. And the Spirit of God touched him very powerfully in one of the meetings, and He just began to grow over the span of about 16 weeks, and he became taller than the kids in his class.
Wouldn't have that happened just normally, though?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Well, because it was a genetic problem, they said, a DNA problem, and his growth was stunted.
Is it true his parents said, stop praying?
Yeah, they called me. One of the friends of the parents called me and said, the parents wanted me to trace you down. How do you stop this? How do you stop this? I mean, we buy him a pair of pants, he grows out of them in 3 days. Buy him a shirt, he grows out of it in a day or two, 5, 6, 7, changes of shoes. He's a head and shoulders taller than all the kids in his class. And we had just heard recently, my wife and I, that he'd played football for a team in Texas, and he's about 6'5" and about 250 pounds. So
Now I understand about the burning out. I mean, I don't understand, but I do. I trust you on this, but mm-hmm. the burning out of the pacemaker. But do you feel this burning in your own hands? Do people feel this burning when you pray for them?
The majority of people that I minister to do sense that anointing or that power of God.
What is that exactly? What is this burden? What is
this
anointing? Well,
it's a sign and wonder. It's a power that God grants to people, and of course, it's just a gift from God. And so, whenever we pray for them in the mighty name of Jesus, it encourages their faith, and it's virtually an it's just like electricity is in the natural realm. It's the power of God in the spiritual realm. Only way I can describe it. It's kind of hard to define, but it's just a burning anointing. And it just if there's a disease or cancer or invariable, various infirmities that we've ministered to over the years in people's lives, it's just has burned out these things to God's glory.
Now I've been to a couple of your meetings, and I've noticed something. You not only pray for people, you know many times what's wrong with them. Give me one example.
Well, the Lord sometimes shows me, I get like a picture of an area of a person's body that's in need of healing, and sometimes I'll see the word come across my mind's eye, cancer or whatever.
Is it like a television screen and you see the word? What do you mean comes across your mind?
It's just like a flash. I just see a flash of a word.
I've seen these flashes, but not words before. I've seen like people's faces and things.
Yeah, well, I many times get the words, and I'll see an individual and the Lord will just have flash before me, cancer. Sometimes.
So when you see that, what do you do?
Well, it's my it is my evident token, is the way we word it. It is for me to increase my faith so that I can minister to the people. And I tell them, this is what is wrong with you, and that encourages their faith. And it's just something for me as I step out, you see, if God's revealing that to me, he's making it known to me that that's what he wants to do in their lives. And what's interesting, Sid, is that many of the words of knowledge we get for people are people that do not know the Lord Jesus.
Why do you figure that?
Because
happens?
I believe that God's drawing them to Him.
Can you, for lack of better words, Jim, make a demand on that gift? What I mean is when we come back after the commercial mm-hmm. break, can you make a demand on that gift and have God go right into people's homes and have them experience this heat and this healing and you even know what's wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you able to do
that? Oh, absolutely. I've seen it happen many, many times. Absolutely. I believe God is more than desirous in wanting to reach people and touch them right where they're at. And I know that the viewing audience, there are many that are in need of great miracles.
How about Alzheimer's? What's happened?
We had a lady in Southern California that was totally incoherent. The son and daughter brought her to one of our meetings, and that burning just virtually covered the upper part of her head. I could sense it go into her brain cells, and I went back to the church about a year and a half later, and she looked 30 years younger, no traces of Alzheimer's, serving the Lord Jesus in that particular church. It was a wonderful miracle, wonderful.
Alzheimer's,
miracle.
Cancer, blindness, nothing's impossible for God, but I want you to make the same demand on the gift within Jim that I told him to make upon God. You make that demand, and I tell you, the invisible hand of God will reach right through that television set and change you. You like the way you are? course not. You know there's more for you? Of course there is. Why not now? Make the demand. We'll be back right after this word. Don't you dare go away. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Dr. Jim Maloney. And in India, this is as unbelievable as the other things were. Wait till you hear about this. There was one of these, they used to call them thalamide babies, where the arm wasn't developed and the hand was just coming out of the shoulder. Tell me about that.
That's correct. It was a gentleman that was probably about 30 years of age, and he just lived with it, and the hand was just there by his shoulder. And I had a team with me, and a particular lady, I had asked her to minister to this gentleman. I was standing right there. Everyone was standing there. And there, of course, there were thousands of people, so a lot was going on at the same time. But I noticed very powerfully that when she laid her hand upon this gentleman, the hand shook. It was just a remarkable. And it just
all
went
right, so let me get this. The hand is like this.
It starts shaking.
You're saying it went flying in the air. What do you mean?
It just flew out forward,
off of his body,
off
or
of
extended
his body, and extended off. And then when it did, the arm appeared as the hand was, and it was just a brand new arm.
How long
arm
did
was
this
created.
Take?
About 4 seconds.
So, for I mean, most people have never seen anything like this.
It's life changing. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be.
Oh, it is. It is. And of course, there were many hundreds upon hundreds of people that had never received Jesus as Savior and Lord and given their lives to Him. But when they saw that miracle, they'd just begin to cry out to God.
Demand time. I tell you, it's demand time.
Yep.
And I draw out of you the gifts that God has invested. I want you to pray for our viewers right now.
All right. I just want each and every one of you that's watching this program, you may want to reach your hand out as an act of faith. I know and I sense in my spirit that there are many of you that have diseases, infirmities, pain within your body. Jesus Christ not only took upon the cross your sins, but also the stripes that were placed upon His back was for your healing. And you, as you receive Him and just activate your faith, just receive this prayer of faith. And I do sense that many of you have diseases within your body that you need God to do a creative miracle, crippling conditions right now. I know that there are several I sense in my spirit that have diabetic problems and organs that aren't functioning correctly. Right now, just reach your hand out all over the world, and God will intervene. I just, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for you that the sickness, the disease, the infirmity, by the power of Jesus' name, for you to be set free from that right now. And I just pray that this anointing, this heat that has gone into the lives and bodies of thousands of people will right now flow right to where you're at, touch you. Many of you are sensing the power of God right now. I sense it, Sid. They're sensing it right now. That heat, warmth, that anointing.
But you know what? I'm not feeling heat. I'm just feeling all over my body a presence of God right
yes,
now.
Yes, it's not necessary that you always have to sense a heat or some type of other manifestation, but just that awareness of God's love and God's power is enveloping many right now. I really do sense that.
Now, I heard something earlier, and mm-hmm. I didn't say anything because I thought it was personal for mm-hmm. me, but I believe it's for a lot of people right now. What I heard the Spirit of God whisper to me is the word hip. Now, you and I both know that I'm believing God for a creative miracle in my hip, but I believe it's not just me. I believe that when Jim prays for me right now, there are people that are having arthritic problems of all kinds in your neck, especially as you move your head, there are pains in your back, any type of arthritic problem or any type of bone problem. This is your moment, and I'm going to be a point of contact,
okay.
if you will.
Absolutely.
But I'm hungry.
Absolutely.
I want to tell you something. If you're not hungry for more of God, there's something wrong with you. So say, I'm hungry, either that or something's wrong with you. I want you to pray for a new hip for me right now. But it's not just, I'm in proxy for all those people hurting, and pain hurts. Pain is real.
That's correct.
And it's going. It
all
doesn't
right.
belong.
I sense it right now. And I want each and every one of you that are watching this program, reach out in faith if you have this condition. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Sid. I thank you for the literal thousands of people that may be watching with this condition. I just sense your presence beginning to flow through his body right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that it's going down his hip into that area that's has maybe calcium deposits built up, deterioration in the ball of the hip. I sense that for many right now, Sid. And in the name of Jesus, we've seen you, Lord, minister to hundreds upon hundreds of people in healing in this area. We just speak a miracle of recreation, whatever.
Excuse me, I have to say this to you. I have to say right now to you that it is the ball of my hip. The exact words that he said is the condition. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's just that ball of your hip needs a reconstruction right
Absolutely
now.
Right.
That's right in that area there. And I just speak in the name of Jesus that that is being recreated, that which has been deteriorated, damaged, lost, that God, you will just put brand new tissue, brand new bone into that area. We've seen that. In Jesus' name, I sense it, Sid. I'm overwhelmed by the presence of God that's upon you right now.
I know, and what I'm hearing right now is head. And let me tell you what that means. It means two things. It means, number one, you're thinking in your head rather than in your heart. That's the most important thing. And the second thing that that means is that anything you need in your head area is yours. Have you ever prayed for someone that needed hair?
yes, I did one time. One time.
Did it happen?
Yes, it did. It took overnight, just one individual.
Oh, that's a shame. It took all one night. Big deal.
Had no hair at all. It was real humorous because the next morning he woke up and he had this black hair just flying everywhere. He had no control, but it was just bushy and black, and it was just really remarkable. But that's only happened one time. But it was an exciting sign and wonder. Let me tell you, when he came back to the meeting and, you know, here he walked in, they thought, is this a wig? They started pulling on
it. Sure. You know?
But it was his, and he was so proud of it. And it was a great sign and wonder. It really was.
What about teeth, quickly?
Teeth, I have seen the Lord touch people on a couple occasions, straighten the teeth. Fill the teeth with, of course, silver or gold or material that even the dentist don't even know what it is.
Seriously?
Yes,
a dentist
absolutely.
Said he didn't know?
Yeah, Palm Springs,
tell me
California.
That one,
Palm
quick.
Springs, California. A lady came out. Her teeth were scheduled to be pulled, and overnight God just drilled out the cavity area, put a substance in that her dentist didn't even know what it was. And it was just a sign of wonder.
I love you just the way you are, and God has something that you will never ever fear if you understand. It's his life. He wants to pour his life into you right now. Do you want the life of God? Let me tell you, wherever his life goes, everything bad can't cohabit. They can't be in the same place. I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. Dear God, I'm a sinner. Against you and you alone have I sinned. And I'm so sorry. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And by his blood, I'm clean. I'm clean. And now that I'm clean, you loved me before I was, but oh God, now that I'm clean, you can come inside of me and my life will never be the same. Your life is coming into me like a river. It's coming in like a gusher. Oh God, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Reach out to him. You don't need my words, you need your words. You don't need my heart, you need your heart. You need to say, God, help, God, help, God, help. I need your love. I need your purpose. I need to hear from heaven. I don't want to fight. I want to join your team. God, you love me. Just the way I am. Oh, it's so good to be loved and accepted. I love you, Lord. Tell him this.